This is Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast, brought to you by TaylorTalk.org. Welcome, Taylor Nation, to episode 83 of Taylor Talk. I am Adam.
I'm Diane.
And I'm Steve.
And I'm not going to lie, this excitement is a little bit of it's a little bit of an act. I'm a bit tired right now.
Wait a minute,
I'm tired,
Adam.
Too.
Adam, if you say that it's not a lie, does that mean everything that you said before that is a lie?
Oh.
Steve.
So
don't,
this is
don't
not
make
Taylor
don't
Talk?
Make me think right now, Steve.
Okay.
I'm very tired. Steve, Diane, and I were all up till 4 a.m. last night after the final Red show, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes. But before we get going into the episode, we just wanted to chat with you a bit about what's going to be going on in the next several episodes. Now that the Red Tour in North America is over, we wanted to finally talk about it without having to spoil anybody, because anybody that's going to see it has seen it.
Unless you don't live in America, obviously.
Well, that's why I said anybody that was going to see it has already seen it.
Right.
Diane's tired, too. We were all up till 4 a.m. It was ridiculous. Anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to break it down over the next several weeks and talk about a couple different songs per episode. So basically, we'll start with the opening few songs and tell you a little bit about those sets and how they worked and what we thought of them and what our opinions were and whether they represented the song accurately, all kinds of fun analysis stuff. And yeah, that's just in the weeks to come, because we've got about, 2 months now till Taylor's in New Zealand, roughly. A little more than 2 months. And, you know, once we get to that point, we'll be able to talk about more stuff that she's doing. But right now, we're anticipating a lull in the world of Taylor. I don't think she'll be doing much next couple weeks. Do you guess?
Probably trying to get well, because she was sick for the last three shows of the Red Tour.
She was sick. I think I caught it from her, from the audience. I don't know if you can hear a little rasp in my voice right now.
I think it's just lack of sleep. I don't know. I think you'll be fine, Adam.
A little both. So yep. Let's get started with the episode now that we got that out of the way. So, Steve, what's been going on in the news?
Okay, well, the Red Tour concluded in North America on Saturday. However, the tour is far from over. Taylor will be heading to New Zealand and Australia in November and has promised additional dates in other parts of the world that haven't been announced yet. So we'll stay tuned, and hopefully we'll have something to report pretty soon on that to our international Swifties.
Yeah, buddy. Steve, do you know whose article we got that quote from?
I don't know. You don't quite have it cited here in the episode, guys.
Well, that's why we're going to talk about it.
That's why I was just sort of, I was smiling. You couldn't see it, Steve. It was more of a rhetorical question. But that actually came out of Brian Mansfield's article in USA Today regarding the shows in Nashville. So before the first show on Thursday, there was a press event that he was at, as well as other members of the press, and that was a quote that he pulled from Taylor. So Taylor did hint at additional international shows.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's
so
pretty exciting.
For those
so
who don't
have...
Sorry, Steve?
So we could have the Red Tour, or the Red World Tour, or the World Red Tour. I guess one of those,
whatever it'll be called,
the worldwide red tour. That's a lot of like was and ours, which is a little bit of a tongue twister to say.
Yes,
but anyway, I just wanted to say, for those who don't know who Brian Mansfield is, he's a writer for USA Today, the newspaper, and was the first account that Taylor ever followed on Twitter. He's been writing about her since she was a 15-year-old girl, and still writes about her today. So they actually have a pretty tight relationship for a journalist-artist relationship. They're pretty close. That's why I was mentioning him. Anyway, Diane, what else is going on in the news?
Well, before she heads all around the world, she is looking forward to starting recording her fifth album. She said, I'll be in the studio figuring out what comes next. I really like to take 2 years to make a record, and I've been writing and doing stuff for the last year. This is kind of the year that it goes into overdrive, and it's all I think about, and I become obsessive over it, and I'm hard to talk to. So
thanks
hopefully
for that.
We can get some more news about fifth album stuff maybe in the next couple months, right?
Yeah, definitely. And if anything breaks on that, obviously we're going to this plan we have for you guys the next couple weeks going over the Red Tour, we're going to break that up a little bit if there's any breaking news, of course. So thank you for the news, Diane and Steve. Let's turn it over to Sammy a sec for the Red Tour recap. Sammy?
Hey guys, it's Sammy at SamIam1331 from T-Swift on Tour, here with your last weekly Red Tour wrap-up of the U.S. leg of the Red Tour. The last three shows were all in Taylor's home city of Nashville, Tennessee. On Thursday, September 19th, the secret song was Our Song, and the special guest was Luke Bryan, who sang I Don't Want This Night to End. On Friday, September 20th, the secret song was 15, and the special guests were Rascal Flatts, who sang What Hurts the Most. And on the last night of the U.S. leg of the Red Tour, the secret song was Sad, Beautiful, Tragic, and the special guest was Hunter Hayes, who sang I Want Crazy. It's been one amazing tour, and we can't wait to see what Taylor has in store for Australia and New Zealand. That's your weekly Red Tour wrap-up. Bye, guys.
Thank you for that, Sammy. Remember, guys, for down-to-the-minute updates on the Red Tour, go follow T-Swift on Tour on Twitter, although there's a two-month break happening right now, but T-Swift on Tour is great about updating news and all that type of stuff as well. They don't just update the tour, so they're a great account to follow if you're not already. Our main discussion today, we're going to follow up a little more in-depth as to what Sammy was talking about and talk about these Red Nashville shows. Steve was at all three. Diane and I were at two of them. So I think we've got a lot to say. So where do you guys want to start? I mean, do we start with the secret songs? Do we start with the special guests? Do we start with the fact that Taylor was sick and still did an amazing job? I don't know what you guys want to.
I mean, we can start out with the fact that she was sick. Like, she was coughing for like a good portion of the show. You know, she would sing and then she'd cough. And then, I mean, I just felt really bad for her because I can imagine like how hard that would be to dance and run around the stage while she's not feeling good, you know? Like, that's just incredible that she still like did all that while she was sick.
Mm-hmm. And the funniest part of it too was when she was on the B stage and she literally stopped the show to blow her nose. She asked the crowd, she's like, I can't remember the exact quote, but she basically asked the crowd to cheer so there wouldn't be an awkward silence. She's like, because I really have to blow my nose. She handed off her guitar to, I assume, one of her employees, one of the crew people.
Yeah, just a stagehand or something.
And then she literally ran off stage and blew her nose. It was actually quite funny.
You know what I noticed about that, which is kind of probably an odd thing to notice, but she blew her nose really fast. Like, that was like a 10-second nose blow, and she was done and back out there to sing.
She had a show.
I know she did, but I was just impressed. She always impresses me.
So, what do you guys think, then, about... There's some articles out, not very many right now, but a few articles out criticizing her performance based on the fact that she was sick. And, personally, I think that's a little unfair to judge her when she was, in fact, sick.
Wait, what?
Exactly.
Like, people are saying that, what, she performed badly because she was sick? Or what exactly are they saying about her?
There was something they said, like the Examiner, for example, said she ended the Red Tour on a whimper, I think was their wording.
Like, it's her fault she got sick. Like, she could have said, like, hey guys, I'm sick, I'm not gonna go out and sing for you guys. But she didn't.
And what? And cancel the dates and then try to reschedule. And that, to me, would be more of a disaster than, you know, putting your heart and soul into the last couple shows. And actually, that brings it to something that I noticed that, you know, there was the whole part that she even said at the beginning. Like, she did not, like, hide the fact that she was sick. You know, she pretty much came out right away and said, hey, you know, I'm sick, but I'm going to need you guys to help fill in those voids and, you know, really kind of sing for Taylor and some of those parts to, you know, just make it go through the whole show. And I think, if anything, her being sick, it kind of almost reminds me of, when they had the big rainstorm there at Gillette Stadium during the Speak Now tour. People that went to that show, yeah, it poured down rain, but the fact that they continued on the show, those people, that is going to be their favorite show for their entire life.
Taylor's a champ. She really is. And if I'm being quite honest, the vocals in her music, I really did not notice much of a difference. When she was speaking, you could tell she was sick. Her voice was kind of raspy. It sounded like she was probably about to lose her voice a little bit. But during the singing, she was fantastic. And I don't know. I mean, she did, like you said, Steve, get assistance from the fans singing along. There was also assistance from her backup singers. So, I mean, that definitely helped. The only place I really saw her voice falter a little bit in terms of musically was during Hunter Hayes' performance when she did the duet with him.
Oh, really? I didn't even notice that.
To me, when she was singing, it was almost like she was just speaking the lyrics. It was like her voice just wasn't there for it. That's my opinion. You guys can argue with me if you want.
I mean, I can't because I didn't notice. So for me, that would be your argument. Yeah, I mean, I thought she did fine.
Well, that's your argument.
It wasn't
then.
Enough for me to notice, or that could have been because I was also like happy and trying to sing along too. So yeah, I just thought it was a great show all around.
Well, me personally, the reason my voice is raspy right now is because of Hunter Hayes. As much as I love Taylor and jump around and sing along with her songs, I was screaming when Hunter Hayes came on because he sang I Want Crazy with her, and that's like one of my favorite songs ever, and I think you both can attest to the fact that I've blasted that song in my car on several occasions.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
But Steve, what did you think of her vocals in that song with Hunter? Am I off base?
You know, I didn't really kind of dig too deep into them. I mean, there were songs and notes that just weren't perfect, but like I was over it. Like after, you know, that I thought it was kind of a bigger deal for the fact that she did actually cut out a couple of songs. She cut out Begin Again out of, I believe, the Friday and Saturday show, but I believe in the Thursday show it was there, if I remember how that went down.
Yeah. That is
so I thought that was an interesting thing. The other part, and I actually saw this on Twitter a couple times, is people really liked Taylor's monologues when she was, you know, on all the cold medications. Like some of the things
too
that she said during those monologues at the guitar, or when she was up at the piano, before she does All Too Well, and also before she does Mean. Like seriously, the one that she did for Mean, what was that on Saturday? I swear went on for like 5 to 10
she
minutes.
She just kept talking. I wasn't going to complain. But
she did just keep talking, and she did also excuse herself. She's like, I'm sorry, I'm on cold medicine.
Like, I'm sorry this is taking so long, but it's because I'm sick.
But you could definitely, that she said was great.
Yeah, but you could definitely tell there were different speech patterns. Like, I noticed she used the word a lot when she was on the medication.
Taylor always says though.
Does she?
Yeah, she's just trying to think of what she's going to say next. Because I don't think she has those talks, like, planned out word for word. So she's probably trying to remember and just, you know, trying to think of what to say to thousands of people.
And there are bits and pieces that she uses at each show over and over again. But a lot of that, like, that was one thing. This is the first time I've actually gone to, like, multiple nights of a show.
Uh-huh.
So to hear it every single night, that monologue for those parts was completely different. There were parts at the end where it ties into the whole Mean part and then she starts singing, but like really there's a lot of different stuff that she was saying through there.
Yeah. Now, something I noticed at these shows is I can once and for all make this claim definitive. This crowd in Nashville on Saturday night was absolutely 100% louder than the crowd at the Bieber concert I went to. I just want to throw that out there. I don't know why I threw that in. That was a random bullet point I just made up in my head in the middle of our discussion. So sorry for interrupting. Maybe I'm on cold medicine now too.
Blame
cough,
it on the
cough.
Illness.
So you don't like Justin Bieber.
I didn't say that.
But you like what people call the Justin Bieber of country music, Hunter Hayes.
I love Hunter Hayes.
I mean, I like him too, but that's what a lot of people like to call him, is the Justin Bieber of country music.
I don't think that's a fair assessment. I think Hunter Hayes is more talented than Bieber. Please don't hate on me for that, any Bieber fans out there.
No.
I'm not trying to say that Bieber is not talented, but Hunter Hayes is one of those musical prodigies that can play like a million different instruments and is just super, super talented musically.
I don't even see how they're alike. I mean, the only thing that they have in common is the fact that they're young.
They're young and adorable, Diane.
You think Justin Bieber's adorable?
He was at some point, right?
People liked him when he was on YouTube.
Right?
Okay. Let's not get too derailed here.
You were the one that started this whole Justin Bieber thing.
I was saying that Taylor's crowd was louder than his. That was all I was saying. Now you're comparing Hunter to Bieber. That doesn't involve Taylor at all.
Yeah, but we can all talk right. about Hunter.
So let's move on. I mean, we started out of order. Hunter Hayes was the last guest. So let's go, I guess, reverse order to Rascal Flatts. Steve, you were there that night. We were not. Is there anything that jumped out at you about Rascal Flatts?
Well, I mean, one of the main reasons that Taylor did have Rascal Flatts as a special guest was, you know, she used to open for Rascal Flatts when she
right.
was just starting out. So it was great to actually kind of must not return the favor, but, you know, let them know that, you know, look how far that she's come and everything else like that. I mean, it was a great performance. It was great to see the guys from Rascal Flatts singing with her and everything else like that. It was good.
Yeah, that's neat. What song did they sing, Steve?
Hurts the most?
Wasn't that depressing? Like, that is a great song, but, I mean, it's a little bit of a downer,
I agree.
Right?
I mean, I think it could have been a different song. I don't know how those special, you know, it's one thing, it's like, you know, Taylor picks these special guests, but I don't know who picks the songs. I don't know if she says, hey, Rascal Flatts, do you want to come do one song with me during my show? I want to do What Hurts the Most. And they're like, sure. Or, you know, maybe she talks to them and says, you know, what song do you think would be a good choice here?
It could be a combination of both, Steve, because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's her show. And say, for example, I'm not saying she necessarily has a song of the Rascal Flatts she hates, but hypothetically, if there's a song she hates, she can be like, no, we're not doing that song, because at the end of the day, it's still her show.
Right.
They're guests.
Right. I agree.
So I'm sure she has a degree. She either picks it or has a degree of influence over the pick, over the decision. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, if I could only make it to two shows, I'm not crying about Rascal Flatts being the one I missed. Is that mean to say?
Mm, you can say what you want.
Yeah, we all have our favorites. It's fine.
Right.
Which does bring me to my absolute favorite of all three. Actually, I can't even tell. It's unfair to play favorites between this one and Hunter Hayes. But first night, Taylor brought out Luke Bryan to sing Don't Want This Night to End. His song.
I about had like a fangirl freakout meltdown when she said that he was about to come out. Because I just really like him.
I just really like that song. That was so much fun. Like, everybody jumping around and bouncing and, you know, you got your hands up, you're rocking in my truck. You know, it was so fun.
Yeah,
it was
awesome.
A fun song.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, you got Luke Bryan, Rascal Flatts, Hunter Hayes. Do you guys have an opinion one way or the other on the fact that Taylor made the decision? It was a conscious decision to keep it country for the three Nashville shows.
Well, it was Nashville, and that makes sense to me, you know.
But last time for the Speak Now tour, it was kind of a mixture of both, because she had Hayley Williams, had Andy Grammer. You know, she did have Kenny Chesney and Tim McGraw. So it was kind of, it was more on the country plane this time than it was last time.
Right. Now, Steve, I'm trying to remember. Did we predict Hunter Hayes on the last episode? I don't even remember.
I don't think we did very well at all. I'm trying to remember exactly, you know, what Luke Bryan was a pretty much that was a big surprise, and One of the things that's interesting about that, of course, is, you know, I don't know if it's even partially for a respect sort of thing, but you also have to remember that back during the ACMs, there was this whole thing about, you know, they were both up for Entertainer of the Year, and, you know, we've discussed that multiple times, you know, about the really, with the fan voting, we thought that Taylor, like, there was no way that she could have lost on true fan voting, but obviously there was, you know, Academy of Country Music, you know, votes in there, and they could decide the winner and all that. But it was kind of one of those things that kind of showed that there's no animosity between the Taylor Swift camp and the Luke Bryan camp, because obviously, you know, they are friends to be able to be up on stage and perform together like that.
Right. And to add to that, Steve, I also want to point out the fact that the fans seem to have gotten over it, because there were some ear deafening screams when Luke Bryan was on stage.
I was one of them. I'm proud to say I was one of them.
Diane thinks he's cute.
What about you, Adam? Did you have some deafening screams, or was that only during Hunter Hayes?
That was only during Hunter Hayes. During Luke Bryan, I suppose I could have screamed, but I was videoing it, so I did not quite get the chance to scream for Luke Bryan.
Oh, yes, the video.
Yes, the video.
Is that the one you keep texting me about all the time?
Yeah, which, you know, I'm going to throw a shameless plug out here, because I am very proud to say that. And just, what's it been, 2 days?
Oh, I think it's 3 days.
2 days, 3 days, somewhere
three
in that
days,
range?
3 days, because there were three shows. And
my video of Luke Bryan has accumulated over 250,000 views.
Woohoo!
Woo!
That's insane.
It is, and has been picked up by every news outlet, like all the big writers on Taylor Swift. It got picked up by Taste of Country, The Boot, Great American Country, Perez Hilton. All of them used my video, so I'm just very proud of that.
That's what happens when you upload late at night there, right? I mean, that was, you could have been sleeping.
I did that. It was the first video on YouTube, and I shot it in high def, so those two factors combined, really.
And it will be in this episode guide, right?
Of course it's in this episode guide, guys. Where can you find that, Steve? I'll tell you. TaylorTalk.org/episode83. You'll find that video there. I'm very proud of it. So if you can watch it, I would love you for it.
You and your steady hand.
I did. That was hard. My shoulders were throbbing, holding that camera steady above everybody's heads the whole time.
Sounds like a good workout.
Sure.
I mean, it's good for your shoulders. Never mind. Never mind.
So, I mean, do you guys have anything else you want to say about these three special guests? I'll take your silence for a no.
I mean, I think we covered the majority of it. I mean, they were all country music performers. A couple of surprises. I mean, really, I don't think anybody before these shows happened. I did see tweets during, before the shows that people seemed to know who the special guests were because they were hearing them sound check, because you can hear that in Bridgestone, especially if you're even just out front area there in the front gates. You can hear the songs are sound checking. Obviously, if you hear a song that is not a Taylor song being sound checked, it could be who the special guest is. So,
you are correct, Steve. And I am glad that I last week officially retracted my prediction of fun, because they were not one of them. Although they were heavily predicted to be a special guest during one of these three shows.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people predicted that, but they weren't. It was Luke Bryan, Rascal Flatts, and Hunter Hayes. And, I mean, the fans are happy about it. I'm happy about it. We're all happy about it. But, you know, I was thinking we should finally pay some additional respect to Ed Sheeran, because this was the end of the Red Tour for him. He's not going on to New Zealand, Australia.
Aww.
He and Taylor definitely had a little emotional hug there on their last performance of Everything Has Changed. And he, of course, came out with a couple little surprises. Second show on Friday night, the Rascal Flatts one. When he came out for Everything Has Changed, he was wearing the grumpy cat hat.
What a silly boy.
He's so silly. So, Steve, you saw that. Was that, were you laughing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if we need to explain that to everyone. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people know what grumpy cat is. It's just an internet meme of a cat that has like a very grumpy look on its face, and pretty much it has a Twitter account, and there's, you know, all sorts of meme pictures going around there that people were making and everything else like that. And I guess obviously they make merchandise too now.
Yeah, and it's pretty darn funny because, you know, I'm sure anybody that's on Twitter, I'm sure you guys follow Taylor, and she retweeted Ed saying something, because she tweeted him saying something about the grumpy cat hat, and he's like, just wait till you see what I have for you tomorrow night. So tomorrow night, which was last night, Saturday night, he came out in a cowboy hat and jeans and a button-down like denim shirt. Was that denim or was it just blue?
I think it was just blue, but yeah, I think he was going for that sort of look.
Did it have the pearl denim snap buttons?
He was going
on
for
it?
The cowboy look. And yeah, either way you cut it, I have no idea, Steve, but either way you cut it, he came out and Taylor was laughing. She thought it was funny. And Ed Sheeran, of course, who is British with a British accent, says that he just wanted to fit in Nashville. No. So everybody else laughed too. It was pretty funny. So hats off to Ed for that one. No
cowboy,
pun intended.
Oh, cowboy hats off to Ed.
Oh, cowboy hats off. And then, of course, the last thing Ed did was during We Are Never Getting Back Together, you know, you got the people dressed up as clowns. It's almost like a circus sort of theme. Ed came out as one of the clowns.
Yep, in like a full white suit with the face paint. And he was up there like dancing and just going along with all the other dancers and everything.
It was pretty funny. It was funny, and Taylor realized it during the performance, and she's like, we have an imposter on stage, Ed Sheeran. And everybody's like, yeah!
I'm very glad that the pranks are back. There was no pranks, at least between Need to Breathe and Taylor for the Speak Now. I don't know if... Did she prank any of her openers?
Well, the only one I can think of is Charlie Worsham when he was on stage the last night that he joined the Speak Now tour. He did a cover of I Want Candy. And so the agency, I believe it was the agency at least, went through the pit giving everybody candy and they all threw it at him while he was on stage. So it's not really a prank, but it's kind of cool.
That's funny.
Well, that's enough of a prank. But I mean, there really wasn't anything. And I believe during like the Speak Now tour, or not the Speak Now, the Fearless tour, there was pranks that went on between people. And I know that when she was touring with Rascal Flatts, there was also pranks that they did to each other. And somebody jumped out from the piano, wasn't it? Kelly Pickler to scare Taylor, something like that. I forget. There was a lot of pranks before. So it was neat to see something that was kind of out of the ordinary, and people were just cracking up to no end about Ed Sheeran dressed up there and the clown.
Yeah, no, it was funny, and you're right, the pranks. You know, and I think it depends on comfort level, too. Ed Sheeran and Taylor, over the course of this tour, have more or less become best friends.
They're very close, very
comfortable with each other. Now, Need to Breathe, even after the tour, which Need to Breathe, I believe, was with Taylor even longer than Ed was, because Ed was on tour for 6 months with her.
Mm-hmm.
But mind you, they were friends before that as well. But Need to Breathe and Taylor are completely disconnected now. There is no association between the two.
At least not that we know of.
Yeah, but I mean, there's nothing public about that. I mean, even like with Hunter Hayes, who opened on the Speak Now tour for a few shows, Taylor brought him back out.
Mm-hmm.
There's still that relationship there. So, I don't know. That's just my take on it. That's, you know, my opinion. What do I know? Not very much.
Way to be confident, Adam.
Yeah.
Well, everybody knows Steve is the smart one on the show. So
I don't know about that.
That's why he's here.
I don't think I got any special guest rate or anything like that. So I'm not much of a guesser there either for that.
Steve, I said you're smart, not a psychic.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's a good point. I'll go with it. Thanks.
So I think that more or less wraps it up for our Red Nashville Shows discussion. Like I said, we're going to do some thorough, in-depth analyses of the performances from the Red Tour. I hope you guys are interested in that.
I am.
If not, uh-oh. I don't know what to say if you're not. But before we wrap it up for the night, like I said, we're all very, very tired. So we're going to keep this episode relatively brief, but of course we have mini segments for you guys, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
Steve, first one, what is it?
All right. The first one comes from Madison. It was an email we got. It says, you know you're Swifty when someone says a word from a Taylor lyric and you have that song stuck in your head for the rest of the day.
I actually do that too.
I think that happens pretty frequently. That's I get all sorts of songs stuck in my head, especially Taylor lyrics.
Like, if somebody says, like, oh, drop what you're doing and go do this, I'll have Sparks Fly stuck in my head the rest of the day for sure.
That's funny. This next one comes from RedTSwift13, and that's also via email. And they say, you know you're a Taylor Talk Swifty when whenever someone says a bad joke, you say, that's an Adam joke.
Oh. Nice.
That was my favorite submission.
That hurts. I need to come up with a joke for you guys now for this episode.
All right, well, you should come up with one on the spot while you're reading this next mini segment submission.
I'll think about it over the course of the rest of the episode. We'll see what I come up with.
All right.
In the meantime, the next one is a submission from Taylor Connect from Pretty_Polly_Princess13, who said, you know you're Swifty when you're singing Red and your pet looks at you like Meredith looked at Taylor once when Meredith was silently judging her. And you're like, don't give me that Meredith look.
Mm-hmm. Your cat's giving you sass.
And she says that's a true story.
Nice.
Hey, I believe it.
Yeah, cats are very moody creatures.
That's why you get a dog. Diane's giving a look right now. I can feel it.
I love dogs and cats equally.
All right. Whatever you say, D.
Uh-huh. All right, I got the next one here. This one came from email from Esther, and it's, you know you're a Swifty when you're blasting Taylor around your house and the music is so loud that your neighbor starts singing along. And that is also a true story, and the good thing is he did not complain that it was too loud. So that's good.
Nice.
That's a cool true story.
Sweet.
That is a cool one. You never know when they're you get that neighbor that's going to call the police on you instead, right?
Go to jail for listening to Taylor's music. I don't know about that.
That would be a great You Know You're a Swifty. Submitted by Adam. You know you're a Swifty when you go to jail because you play Taylor's music too loud.
Was that the Adam joke? Because that wasn't a very good one.
That was probably an Adam joke right there.
That wasn't the Adam joke.
Oh, okay.
This one comes from Rebecca via text message. And she says, you know you're Swifty when Taylor Talk is set on your speed dial. True story, number 13.
Oh,
boom.
Nice.
Perfect number.
That is
number
a great
13.
Number.
That's what's up. So thanks, guys, for everyone submitting that. We got one more submission before we go. We got a voicemail from Luis, who is suggesting someone we should all listen to. Luis, take it away.
Hey guys, it's Louise, aka 5sex as in seconds of Swift from Twitter. Swifties are listening to Can We Dance by The Vamps. They're a British band and this is their debut single set to release on the 29th of September. They were originally on YouTube and did covers of 22 and other songs from Red. They're Swifties too, so it's pretty cool. Okay, bye!
Oh, that's cool. Louise is from the UK. Love it. Love the accent.
Nice.
Me too.
Especially since we paid our respects to Ed Sheeran as being part of the Red Tour this episode. It's only fair we got a British voicemail.
Nice.
But anyway, so the song, I know that voicemail might have been a little difficult to hear or decipher, listen to. It's hard to
understand.
Sure.
You are hard to understand, Adam.
I am hard to understand, aren't I?
You need to get some sleep.
Yeah, right. Seriously. So anyway, the song was called Can We Dance by The Vamps. And they
that
have
rhymes.
My automatic what?
That rhymes.
Yeah, exactly, Steve. So anyway, they have my automatic approval because they have a MacBook Air in their video, which is the same as my computer.
Oh, twinsies.
And like Luis said, they covered 22 on YouTube. They're fellow Swifties. So
nice.
I mean, we all got to support each other, right? So go check them out. Can We Dance by The Vamps. So here we are at the end of the episode.
Already?
We are here.
Already, Steve. I told you it's a short one, buddy. I got to get to bed. I got work in the morning.
Oh. Well, I'm still enjoying the lovely fun of Nashville.
That's not fair.
Yeah, must be nice.
It happens.
Steve's still on vacation.
Yep.
Lucky guy.
Mm-hmm.
But before we go, I'm still trying to think of a joke.
That awkward moment when Adam can't think of a bad joke.
Ah, got one.
Oh, oh, right.
All right, Steve.
Okay.
A guy walks into a bar. Ouch!
Oh, boy.
That was awesome.
Boy.
I didn't get it.
Steve, he walked into a bar. It hurts when you walk into a bar.
Like an actual bar, like a metal bar, or like a pole or something.
Gotcha. All right. Did you come up with that yourself, or did you, like...
No.
Google bad jokes and grab the first one you could find.
I've heard that one before, so I know it wasn't an Adam original.
All right, well, at least makes sense. It's not real funny, but it makes sense, so.
I thought it was funny.
Well, it wouldn't be an Adam joke if it was funny, right?
Right, exactly.
We're so mean to you. I'm sorry.
You guys are.
We
like you, just not your jokes.
Ouch. That hurts, Steve. That really hurts.
That was like an insult and a compliment in the same
That time. Hurts down to the core.
Mm.
Anyway.
That icy we've had core of a heart that you have.
Steve just keeps talking. I try and wrap up the episode. He just goes.
Steve wants to go talk all night.
Yep.
Doesn't want us to get any sleep.
Nope. Steve, do I have your permission to wrap up the episode?
Are we good to go, Steve?
All right, fine.
I made a joke. And see, that one was funny.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't funny. Oh. Just wrap up this episode already. No more jokes.
Okay, remember, guys, you can submit to all the mini-segments and offer us feedback a variety of ways to contact us. The first way is to email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. The next way, you can tweet us, Facebook us, or Taylor Connect us, all to taylortalk13. You can also ask us a question on our Ask FM. Remember, those are used for those cool new midweek episodes that we've been releasing that are not edited, and that's at ask.fm/taylortalk13. And of course, Canadian and U.S. listeners can call us or text us to area code 240-31-SWIFT. If you are in the rest of the world and still want to leave us a voicemail, visit taylortalk.org. Click that nice bar on the side that says send voicemail and, well, leave us a voicemail there and we'd love to hear from you. So, for episode 83, man, we're getting along far in these. This has been Adam.
Diane. And Steve.
And Steve.
And Steve.
What was that?
I was pulling a prank.
Oh, I thought something happened to you.
No, I'm fine.
That was a ridiculous attempt at a prank.
I was like, no, we lost him on the internet connection.
I was going to say I was Ed Sheeran. That was the other one I was going to try, and then I decided to just be silent.
Oh, that one would have been funny.
Well, that happens.
So remember, guys, if you forgot who we are or how to contact us, taylortalk.org. We will see you all, I guess, in a couple days since we've been recording in the middle of the week now.
Yeah, you don't have long to wait.
You guys are stuck with us. That's got to suck.
We're coming back.
Yay.
We're always here. New episodes twice a week.
All right, wrap it up.
All right, bye, guys.
See ya.
Bye. This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.